Chapter 13. Rec Number 1 Iscariath Jmanuel Sununda. Thursday, August 10, 1989, 7:15 a.m. Year 2, Day 359. Dharma, Sununda here. It is recognized that most of the lessons have already been given unto you regarding the last pages of the ancient scrolls. As these will also be brought forth in the exact format given, I choose to have the scrolls translated, for you ones a second time, that the records be untainted. There is only one other section that I wish presented in current format, and it is the one of the crucifixion as presented by my most revered and honored Gabriel. I will give you instruction for the publication of the remaining material as we reach the conclusion of the translations. I place my seal and my truth upon these words. I again relinquish the circuitry to Judas Iscariot that you can continue with as little interruption as is possible. Thy brothers can be organizing the materials given since I began the regular lessons that they will be the next binded. I must have rapid, catch up, with public input, so we will back with credentials as we move forward, as well as publish many of the lessons of Aten, Hayton, and our beloved Kohans of the Seven Rays. You do not concern yourself with it now. Some letters of credence will be published with several of the documents. I now move to stand by. Blessings upon the word. Judas to continue Dharma. Greetings in a new day in the glory and radiance of the Most Radiant One. Laws and commandments. Jmanuel spoke of the commandments and laws thusly. Since the commandments of the creation apply and also the laws of God, thus they shall be followed and respected. Since the laws of the creation are the laws of the Spirit, so are the laws of God the laws of order and of life. God issued the laws as regulation for that which is right and also as a guideline for life. Thus laws and commandments serve as paths upon which man shall walk in wisdom and intelligence, if he is truthful in his righteousness. Inasmuch as the laws of the creation and the laws of God are followed, there is no need for men to bring forth other laws, of any kind, whatsoever. The laws of creation and the laws of God shall be considered as the true laws, and they shall have to be followed, for they alone are valid. If man deviates from these commandments and these laws, he brings forth human laws which are based on false logic, and, therefore, are faulty. If man is faint of heart and spirit, so are his laws faint-hearted and are like heresy. If man is presumptuous and disregards the commandments and laws of the creation and of God, he is forced to bring forth his own laws which are full of mistakes and lead him astray. Laws and commandments made according to men produce murder and evil will spread and gain control, and man no longer has any power over it. Commandments and laws are valid only if they are derived from wisdom and logic. But logic requires wisdom and perception. Human commandments and human laws are powerless if not based upon the laws of the creation, and God's laws are also based thereon, as were issued by him in wisdom. Proverbs. Verily I say to you, wisdom has to be learned from the laws of the creation which man perceives in nature. But if man does not think and search, he will not attain wisdom and remains a fool. The wise do not cry over lost things, over those who have physically died, or over things of the past. Fools cry over things that are not worthy of weeping, thereby they increase their grief and obviously are in need of experiencing misery. He who is rich in wisdom and lives according to the laws, does not allow that creatures should suffer, even the least pain or wound, if they are without fault. A fool or a madman who does not conquer and control his emotions, considers destruction as an advantage and reverse wise, an advantage as destruction, and considers great suffering as a type of joy. Because men do not follow wisdom and do not seek knowledge, nor perceive the laws, they are filled with imprudence and vice. The dishonest, the stupid, the defiant, the miserly, those without moral scruples, the coarse and vulgar, and the angry, will be hurt as someone who is poor in spirit. If a person perceive, daily in due manner, just a little wisdom in spirit, he progresses like the moon during the light half of thy month cycle. Wisdom is the greatest asset of man, and so is the created will which is lord over love and happiness. But all this has no meaning without the power of spirit. A fool who waits for fate to act, without doing anything himself, perishes like an unfired pot placed in water. He who takes care of a cow always will receive milk. Likewise, he who nurtures wisdom and applies it through the power of spirit brings forth rich fruitage. Perceive every law of the creation, and once you have perceived it, seize it and live accordingly, for the laws are the greatest of wisdom. There is no eye that is equal to wisdom, no darkness equal to ignorance, no power equal to the power of the spirit, and no terror equal to that of spiritual poverty and deprivation. There is no higher happiness than wisdom, and no better friend than knowledge. There is no other savior than the power of the spirit. He who has intelligence may grasp my speech so that he is wise and knowing. Saul confronted and confused. As Jmanuel finished this discourse to the ones gathered with him, a man named Saul came to him and said, "You are preaching heresy, and it is strange to me, listening from the onset. It appears most stupid and your spirit seems greatly confused." Jemmanuel responded with irritation, "How can you tell me that I am confused in spirit, whereas it is you who is completely confused in spirit? Verily I say to you, Saul, you are persecuting me, as well as my disciples, because of my teaching, but you will change your mind, my friend. From now on you shall be named Paul and travel in all different directions, and you shall have to suffer greatly for having called my teaching heresy and my spirit confused. You will heap upon your back a great, great burden, for in your lack of understanding and foolishness, you will misunderstand my teachings, and therefore, teach falsely. Your speech will be confused, and the people all over the world will be in bondage to your false word, and slaves unto it, and will worship the doctrine of lies which you will put forth unto them. You will not even be in the knowledge of that which you do, but in the ending you shall be required to rectify that which you shall perpetrate in this time. You will place the entire land of the Greek in bondage to an evil cult with your false teachings. Thus you will call me in their language, the Anointed. It will be the fault of your ignorance that they will call me Jesus Christ, which means, the Anointed. My name is Jemmanuel, God among us. And you shall be responsible for thousands of generations to be in false knowledge. Further, it will rest on my back, in thy ignorance, that the wondrous name of Jesus will be used falsely, and in that name, human blood will be shed, so much will be shed that it cannot be contained in all the now existing containers. So be it, Paul, for it shall come to pass. You continue to persecute me and also my disciples, because of my teaching. Soon, however, the time will arrive when you will change your perspective. You will face me another time and will assume that I am a spirit form. Oh yes, you shall be brought up most short. Verily I say to you, as so many others, you will be to blame greatly that my teachings are adulterated and that the human races build erroneous cults, for in your enthusiasm you shall not learn the truth in wisdom. You will be the cornerstone of the senselessness that I will be called Jesus Christ, and the redeemer of false cults, and it shall cause me to need refer to an erroneous name in the ending that I be recognized as who I really am. Even my scribes will have forgotten my name by the ending of your earth times. So shall it come to pass before the fulfillment of the prophecies that these things will be set to right, that man will see and know of his errors. Jemmanuel was furious, seized a stick and chased Saul away. But Saul then joined with Judahariath, the son of the Pharisee, and counseled about how best they could seize Jemmanuel so that they could turn him over to the persecutors, for his thoughts were filled with revenge and hostility. When Saul had gone, Jemmanuel called his disciples together, spoke to them and said, "You know that Easter will be in 2 days and I shall be turned over to the courts to be crucified as it is destined, so that I may learn therefrom. Jemmanuel S. betrayer, Judahariath. My traitor will be Judahariath, the son of the Pharisee, for his mind is interested only in gold, silver, material goods and chattels. He shall betray me for 30 pieces of silver, for he is misled, for he has been so taught by his father, in avarice and greed. His joy in the pieces of silver, however, will be most short-lived, for he is most fickle and unsteady and will soon be filled with overwhelming remorse for his actions. On suicide. Since Judahariath is without courage and of very small faith, he will put a rope around his neck and upon a tree branch, and hang himself to death. Verily, verily I say to you, even though Judahariath's suicide appears just, he is acting totally without justice. For, even though man has free will regarding himself, he does not have the right to decide over his life or his death. The intent of the laws is such that man lives his life to the end so that he may perfect his spirit in this manner. If he judges himself through suicide, he deviates from the law and violates the plan of the creation as well as the laws of creation. Perceive from that, that man has no right to decide over his life or his death. Even if man has experienced for a specific purpose that he might precipitate death in intent for another's growth, he should allow the spirit to take such control and allow the balance of judgment thereof into the hands of the spirit. Man has only the right to determine the kind of life he wishes to live, but not the right to decide over life and death itself. The laws say that there is no event or any situation which would justify suicide. You would be wise to take note, however, that in some apparent events of suicide there is not the personal act of self that causes the dimensional change, but rather the ultimate spiritual purpose that comes into operation. You ones of earth physical aspect are not given the right of judgment. Suicide carried out by a third hand, which means through a hired murderer, or murder for reasons of mercy, is against the laws of the creation. However much guilt a man may acquire, and however large the burden may be, he has no right to determine his own death. Even though Judahariath incurs great debt, he has no right to decide over his life and death. Further, No matter how much good a perceived death by suicide might appear to bear, think of the possible good that a devoted life in truth and wisdom could bear. Each debt and each mistake are a way to understanding from which the spirit is perfected. If man is escaping from guilt, or a mistake, or whatever might be the predicament, by killing himself, he escapes from perception and has to learn that perception in another life experience at some appropriate level of understanding. Therefore, he only delays the process of perfection of the spirit, which is not the will of the creation. Either way, suicide is an act of deplorable cowardice and a disregard of the laws of the creation. After Jmanuel had finished this lesson, the disciples were very agitated and said, "Why do we not just catch Judas Iscariot and stone him lest he can betray you?" The meaning of the crucifixion. Thereupon Jmanuel was furious and shouted, "Do you not know what I prophesied to you, that I would be crucified in order that I would attain a certain understanding? How dare you disregard the destiny of the laws, since this is intended? As I go my way, so every man will need to go his way. Verily I say to you, if I were not to follow my destiny, how could I fulfill my mission which will lead me on to India and other places where I must experience in my truth and growth?" Disciples misunderstand teachings. "O you of little faith and less courage, I taught you the truth and you recognize it not. How can you not comprehend it? For it will be through your refusal to comprehend in truth, after my departure, my teachings will be adulterated by you and spread as false doctrines and as false cults in every direction of the world. All over the world false guidance and false teachings will resound and man will be against man in my false name and nation will rise against nation. Blood will be spilled upon this blessed creation of earth in the name of falseness, and you shall bear of the burden of that truth. Many among you will bear the guilt therein, that man does not recognize the truth even though I have long taught it to you in purity. How can you continue to misunderstand? There will be great resounding in the world regarding your false teaching which you will spread helter-skelter about the lands. Some of you will care so little after my departure that you will bother not to teach at all. So be it, for the prophecies must be fulfilled in their proper time. You have not understood the wisdom in my words nor the truth of my teachings. You are struck with blindness just as are the people, just as predicted by the prophets for this human race. But since I fulfilled my mission among this generation and could not teach any reason unto the people, because they do not think with reason, therefore, I will leave, for the teaching of the truth shall be brought also to the two other human races in the north and in the east, inasmuch as this race is under the guidance of God, so are the two other races under him, for he is the Lord of the three human races. I have been sent here as God's prophet according to his will, so that I will teach the three human races the new doctrines. Therefore, I must walk in the path which was destined by God, since I serve his will and his laws, as God himself serves the laws of the creation. Let us take respite, please, Salu."